10 years before the Spaniards first came here, a bad omen appeared in the sky. It was like a flaming ear of corn, or a fiery signal, or the blaze of daybreak. It seemed to bleed fire, drop by drop, like a wound in the sky. It was wide at the base and narrow at the peak, and it shone in the very heart of the heavens. When it first appeared, there was great outcry and confusion. The people clapped their hands against their mouths. They were amazed and frightened, and asked themselves what it could mean. The second bad omen. The temple of Huitzilopochtli burst into flames. It is thought that no one set it afire, that it burnt down of its own accord. The third bad omen. A temple was damaged by a lightning bolt. This was the temple of Xiuhtecuhtli, which was built of straw. It was raining that day, but it was only a light rain or a drizzle, and no thunder was heard. The fourth bad omen. Fire streamed through the sky while the sun was still shining. The fifth bad omen. The wind lashed the water until it boiled. It was as if it were boiling with rage, as if it were shattering itself in its frenzy. It began from far off, rose high in the air, and dashed against the walls of the houses. The flooded houses collapsed into the water. This was in the lake that is next to us. The sixth bad omen. The people heard a weeping woman night after night. She passed by in the middle of the night, wailing and crying out in a loud voice, "My children, we must flee away from this city." At other times she cried, "My children, where shall I take you?" The seventh wonder was this. The men whose work is in the Lake of Mexico trapped a dark feathered bird resembling a crane and took it to Moctezuma so that he might see it. He was in the palace of the Black Hall. The sun was already in the west. The bird was so unique and marvelous that no one could exaggerate its strangeness or describe it well. A round diadem was set in its head in the form of a clear and transparent mirror in which could be seen the heavens. When Moctezuma saw this, he was filled with dread and wonder, for he believed it was a bad omen to see the stars of heavens in the diadem of that bird. When Moctezuma looked into the mirror for a second time, he saw a host of people, all armed like warriors, coming forward in well-ordered ranks. They skirmished and fought with each other, and they were accompanied by strange deer and other creatures. The eighth wonder and sign that appeared in Mexico, the natives saw two men merged into one body, and others who had two heads but only one body. They were brought to the palace of the Black Hall to be shown to the great Moctezuma, but they vanished as soon as he had seen them. To the natives, these marvels augured their death and ruin, signifying that the end of the world was coming and that other peoples would be created to inhabit the earth. A few days later, a common man came to the city from Mictlahuatla. No one had sent him, none of the officials. He came of his own accord. He went directly to the palace of Moctezuma and said to him, "Our lord and king, forgive my boldness. When I went to the shores of the great sea, there was a mountain range, or small mountain, floating in the midst of the water and moving here and there without touching the shore. My lord, we have never seen the like of this, although we guard the coast and are always on watch." Moctezuma thanked him and said, "You may rest now." The man who brought this news had no ears, for they had been cut off, and no toes, for they had also been cut off. Then he called for a priest and appointed him to his grand emissary. He said to him, "Go to Quetzalcoatl and tell the official in charge of the village that it is true. Strange things have appeared on the great sea. Tell him to investigate these things himself so as to learn what they may signify. Tell him to do this as quickly as he can, and take the ambassador with you. When they arrived in Quetzaltlan, the envoys spoke with the officials in charge there, a man named Pinotl. He listened to them with great attention and then said, "My lords, rest here with me and send your attendants out to the shore." The attendants went out and came back in great haste to report that it was true. They had seen two towers or small mountains floating on the waves of the sea. The grand emissary said to Pinotl, "I wish to see these things in person in order to learn what they are. I must testify to our Lord as an eyewitness." Therefore, he went out to the shore, and they saw what was floating there, beyond the edge of the water. They also saw that 7 or 8 of the strangers had left it in a small boat and were fishing with hooks and lines. They climbed up into a broad-limbed tree. From there, they saw how the strangers were catching fish, and how, when they were done, they returned to the ship in their small boat. They climbed down from the tree and went back to the village, where they took hasty leave of Pinotl. They returned as swiftly as possible to the great city of Tenochtitlan to report to Moctezuma what they had observed. When they reached the city, they went directly to the king's palace and spoke to him with all due reverence and humility. "Our lord and king, it is true that strange people have come to the shores of the great sea. They were fishing from a small boat, some with rods and others with a net. They fished until late, and then they went back to their two great towers and climbed up into them. There are about 15 of these people, some with blue jackets, others with red, others with black or green, and still others with jackets of a soiled colour, very ugly. There are also a few without jackets. On their heads they wore red handkerchiefs or bonnets of a fine scarlet colour, and some wore large round hats, which must have been sunshades. They have very light skin, much lighter than ours. They all have long beards, and their hair comes only to their ears." Moctezuma was downcast when he heard this report, and did not speak a word. Moctezuma then gave orders to his officials. He said to them, "Give out this order. A watch is to be kept along all the shores." The officials left at once and gave orders for the watch to be kept. Moctezuma now called his chiefs together. He told them the news that had been brought to him and showed them the objects he had ordered made. He said, "The whole treasure must be guarded well. If anything is lost, your houses will be destroyed and your children killed, even those who are still in the womb." The year 13 rabbit now approached its end, and when it was about to end, they appeared. The report of their coming was brought to Moctezuma, who immediately sent out messages. It was as if he thought the new arrival was our prince, Quetzalcoatl. This is what he felt in his heart. "He has appeared. He has come back. He will come here to the place of his throne and canopy, for that is what he promised when he departed." Moctezuma sent 5 messengers to greet the strangers and to bring them gifts. He said to them, "Come forward, my Jaguar knights, come forward. It is said that our Lord has returned to this land. Go to meet him, go to hear him, listen well to what he tells you. Here is what you are to bring to our Lord. This is the treasure of Quetzalcoatl. Do reverence to our Lord the God. Say to him, 'Your deputy, Moctezuma, has sent us to you. Here are the presents with which he welcomes you home to Mexico.'" When they arrived at the shore of the sea, they were taken in canoes to Zicalanco. They placed the baskets in the same canoes in which they rowed in order to keep them under their personal vigilance. From Zicalanco, they followed the coast until they sighted the ships of the strangers. When they came up to the ships, the strangers asked them, "Who are you? Where are you from?"
"We have come from the city of Mexico," the stranger said. "You may have come from there, or you may not have. Perhaps you are only inventing it. Perhaps you are mocking us." But their hearts were convinced. They were satisfied in their hearts. They lowered a hook from the bow of the ship, and then a ladder, and the messengers came aboard. One by one they did reverence to Cortes by touching the ground before him with their lips. They said to him, "If the god will deign to hear us, your deputy Moctezuma has sent us to render you homage. He has the city of Mexico in his care. He says, the god is weary." Then they arrayed the captain in the finery they had brought him as presents. With great care they fastened the turquoise mask in place, the mask of the god with its crossband of quetzal feathers. A golden earring hung down on either side of this mask. They dressed him in the decorated vest and the collar woven in the petitillo style, the collar with a disc of gold in the center. Next, they fastened the mirror to his hips, dressed him in the cloak known as the ringing bell, and adorned his feet with the greaves used by the Huastecas. In his hand, they placed the shield with its fringe and pendant of quetzal feathers, its ornaments of gold and mother of pearl. Finally, they set before him the pair of black sandals. The captain asked them, "And is this all? Is this your gift of welcome? Is this how you greet people?" They replied, "This is all, Lord. This is what we have brought you." Then the captain gave orders, and the messengers were chained by the feet and neck. When this had been done, the great cannon was fired off. The messengers lost their senses and fainted away. They fell down side by side and lay where they had fallen, but the Spaniards quickly revived them. They lifted them up, gave them wine to drink, and then offered them some food. The captain said to them, "I have heard that the Mexicans are very great warriors, very brave and terrible. If a Mexican is fighting alone, he knows how to retreat, turn back, rush forwards and conquer, even if his opponents are 10 or even 20. But my heart is not convinced. I want to see it for myself. I want to find out if you are truly that strong and brave." Then he gave them swords, spears, and leather shields. He said, "It will take place very early at daybreak. We are going to fight each other in pairs, and in this way we will learn the truth. We will see who falls to the ground." They said to the captain, "Our lord, we were not sent here for this by your deputy, Moctezuma. We have come on an exclusive mission to offer you rest and repose and to bring you presents. If we were to do this, it might anger Moctezuma, and he would surely put us to death." The captain replied, "No, it must take place. I want to see for myself, because even in Castile they say you are famous as brave warriors. Therefore, eat an early meal. I will eat too. Good cheer." With these words, he sent them away from the ship. They were scarcely into their canoes when they began to paddle furiously. Some of them even paddled with their hands, so fierce was the anxiety burning in their souls. They said to each other, "My captains, paddle with all your might, faster, faster. Nothing must happen to us here, nothing must happen." While the messengers were away, Moctezuma could neither sleep nor eat, and no one could speak with him. He thought that everything he did was in vain, and he sighed almost every moment. He was lost in despair, in the deepest gloom and sorrow. Nothing could comfort him, nothing could calm him, nothing could give him any pleasure. He said, "What will happen to us? Who will outlive it? Ah, in other times I was contented, but now I have death in my heart. But will our Lord come here?" Then he gave orders to the watchmen. 2 captives are to be painted with chalk. The messengers went to the house of the serpent, and Moctezuma arrived. The 2 captives were then sacrificed before his eyes, and the messengers were sprinkled with their blood. This was done because the messengers had completed a difficult mission. They had seen the gods. Their eyes had looked on their faces. They had even conversed with the gods. When the sacrifice was finished, the messengers reported to the king. They told him how they had made the journey, and what they had seen, and what food the strangers ate. Montezuma was astonished and terrified by their report, and a description of the strangers' food astonished him above all else. He was also terrified to learn how the cannon roared, how its noise resounded, how it caused one to faint and one to grow deaf. The messengers told him, "A thing like a ball of stone comes out of its entrails. It comes out shooting sparks and raining fire. The smoke that comes out with it has a pestilent odor like that of rotten mud. This odor penetrates even to the brain and causes the greatest discomfort. If the cannon is aimed against a mountain, the mountain splits and cracks open. If it is aimed against a tree, it shatters the tree into splinters. This is a most unnatural sight, as if the tree has exploded from within." The messengers also said, "Their trappings and arms are all made of iron. They dress in iron and wear iron casques on their heads. Their swords are iron. Their bows are iron. Their shields are iron. Their spears are iron. Their deer carry them on their backs wherever they wish to go. These deer, our lord, are as tall as the roof of a house. The strangers' bodies are completely covered, so that only their faces can be seen. Their skin is white, as if it were made of lime. They have yellow hair, though some of them have black. Their beards are long and yellow, and their moustaches are also yellow. Their hair is curly, with very fine strands. As for their food, it is like human food. It is large and white and not heavy. It is something like straw, but with the taste of cornstalk, of the pith of cornstalk. It is a little sweet, as if it were flavored with honey. It is sweet-tasting food. Their dogs are enormous, with flat ears and long dangling tongues. The color of their eyes is a burning yellow. Their eyes flash fire and shoot off sparks. Their bellies are hollow, their flanks long and narrow. They are tireless and very powerful. They bound here and there, panting with their tongues hanging out, and they are spotted like an ocelot." When Montezuma heard this report, he was filled with terror. It was as if his heart had fainted, as if it had shriveled. It was at this time that Montezuma sent out a deputation. He sent out his most gifted men, his prophets and wizards, as many as he could gather. He also sent out his noblest and bravest warriors. They had to take their provisions with them on the journeys, live hens and hens' eggs and tortillas. They also took whatever the strangers might request, or whatever might please them. Montezuma also sent captives to be sacrificed, because the strangers might wish to drink their blood. The envoys sacrificed these captives in the presence of the strangers, but when the white men saw this done, they were filled with disgust and loathing. They spat on the ground, or wiped away their tears, or closed their eyes and shook their heads in abhorrence. They refused to eat the food that was sprinkled with blood, because it reeked of it. It sickened them, as if the blood had rotted. Montezuma ordered the sacrifice because he took the Spaniards to be gods. He believed in them, and he worshipped them as deities. Then the strangers ate the tortillas, the eggs and the hens, and fruit of every variety, guavas, avocados, prickly pears, and the many other kinds that grow here. There was food for the deer also, reed shoots and green grasses. Montezuma had sent the magicians to learn what sort of people the strangers might be, but they were also to see if they could work some charm against them or do them some mischief. They might be able to direct a harmful wind against them, or cause them to break out in sores, or injure them in some way. Or they might be able to repeat some enchanted word over and over that would cause them to fall sick, or die, or return to their own land. The magicians carried out their mission against the Spaniards, but they failed completely. They could not harm them in any way whatsoever. Therefore they hastened back to the city to tell Moctezuma what the strangers were like and how invulnerable they were. They said to him, O Lord, we are no match for them. We are mere nothings. Moctezuma at once gave out orders. He commanded the officials and all the chiefs and captains, under the threat of death, to take the utmost pains to learn what the strangers needed and to provide it. When the Spaniards left their ships and began to march here and were at last on the way, they were served and attended as they came, and great honours were done them. They marched forward under protection, and everything possible was done to please them. When Moctezuma heard that they were inquiring about his person, and when he learned that the gods wished to see him face to face, his heart shrank within him, and he was filled with anguish. He wanted to run away and hide. He thought of evading the gods and escaping to hide in a cave. He spoke of this to certain trusted counselors who were not faint-hearted, whose hearts were still firm and resolute. They said, There is the place of the dead, the house of the sun, the land of Tlaloc, or the temple of Sintli. You should go to one or another, to whichever you prefer. Moctezuma knew what he desired, to go to the temple of Sintli. And his desire was made known. It was revealed to the people, but he could not do it. He could not run away, could not go into hiding. He had lost his strength and his spirit and could do nothing. Therefore, he did nothing but wait. He did nothing but resign himself and wait for them to come. He mastered his heart at last and waited for whatever was to happen.